Good morning, New Life. What the old soul is here now. If you don't know, I am a grandfather, and I got four grandchildren. We want to make sure our children get to Jesus, right? Suffer the little children to get to Jesus. And so we're New Life Fellowship. Our culture and our house vision is that our kids' life is the place where our children get to Jesus. And we need parents to join with our kids' life vision. Say amen. Amen. We need your help because your responsibility is your children. And when I'm ministering a word of God, I'm depending on you as parents, taking care of God's heritage. That child that you have, my four grandbabies belong to Jesus. Don't belong to me. He's given them to me to steward on his behalf. And so I'm asking all the parents to please jump on board with our vision here and protect the delivery of God's word to those that are coming in that need to hear it. One precious bundle of joy can affect as many as 20 to 30 people in an area when it's wanting attention. And babies, their cry means, I need help. I need you to take care of something. And we want them to be taken care of. That's the reason we have Kids Life. Amen. And we make this time in the sanctuary when I deliver God's word that you've been hearing from heaven already, a time where we make sure it's able to be easily received. Amen. And parents, please know this. I'm a parent. I had three, and we dealt with the church challenge with our three. And yes, it can be challenging, but we had help. And we had vision, and we joined together. So I'm asking everybody that's a parent. Anybody got a parent? Got kids? Anybody got children? Anybody got some little ones? Give those in your area permission to call you on it. If you have your little one in the sanctuary and it needs to be taken care of, let them, give them permission to encourage you to make sure that baby's taken care of in the cry room or in our kids' life. Is that okay? By the way, I will be doing this again before long because we got to catch up with the culture where we're going. I know I didn't get a lot of amens, but I know heaven told me what to do. And I know that you probably could be better pastor here than me, but God chose me, so I'm going to do what he's telling me. I know I could do better, but he's the one that I'm doing my best to serve him and you. And in serving you, I've come to realize that we have to set some things in place that may be uncomfortable, you may not agree with, but not everybody agrees with the senior leader here. And I've already found that out over 28 years of trying to serve. You can't get everybody on the same page. They need the Holy Spirit and fire to get on the same page. Amen. Without God, we'll never get on the same. But with God, it's possible for us to unify with vision and join together with passion and support. Okay? So, amen. Join with me. Let's make sure our culture's set because God's entrusting into our care people coming in looking for answers. And how we handle our children and how we join together in unity to handle our children is very significant on us getting the good news out. Is that okay? Again, I'm a grandparent. I have, amen, all the experience right now that says we need to go this direction with it. Amen. And my grandbabies, my grandbabies, they knew, make sure when the word's being delivered, protect that word. You be parent. Your parenting is not my job. And my wife and I love to do that because when we get our grandbabies, we give them back. You're the parent, not me. Go do your job. Steward them. That's good stuff. And right now, if the enemy has his way, he wants to stop the delivery of the most important thing, and that's the now word from heaven, from this platform to those that have ears to hear. And he will use a disgruntled parent that don't agree with the culture of the house as a conduit. The enemy will, because he don't tire to try, and not no ill intent. It happens. And so I'm dealing with spiritual warfare right now. Amen. And I'm doing it God's way. I love y'all. Do y'all know that? More importantly, our daddy loves all of us. And it's important that you hear from heaven and join with me on this. God's got something to say about what I just conveyed to you. Let him talk to you about it because we need everybody on point with us. Parents, If you're not a part of kids' life and you have children, that's your duty as a parent. It's your duty. I'm going to say that one more time. God entrusted that child into your care. Now get on board with the house that God planted you in. Get involved in kids' life. Close the gap. Make sure our kids get to Jesus. Oh, me. Because our culture right now, our next generation, we got some parenting challenges. And putting your love on for the kids is a real issue in our culture right now. Does anybody agree with this? I know the grandparents know it. Amen? And it's amazing. When I was, my wife and I got married and we had our first child, we thought we were smarter than everybody. We found out we weren't. And we needed Jesus to help us with our children. Amen? We're in a series called Daily Struggles. What I just dealt with is a struggle. It's real. What I just talked about hits every family. Amen. It hits every church. And we're in a series right now is we get our message from the cross. We get our message from the one we study. And Jesus is the one we study. I want to say this for everybody here today. Jesus went to the cross full of spirit and fire. It's important that you know this. Jesus was able to drink the cup that he drank because he was full of the Holy Ghost and fire. It was God in flesh. And he endured the most horrific torture that anybody's ever endured. Matter of fact, he endured everything that any one of us has ever been touched by in the world so that he could relate and be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Does everybody agree on that? He did that, but he did that because he was God in flesh. He was full of the Spirit. And I want you to get this. He did what he did so that the Spirit could fill you. God could get in flesh. He did what he did so that God could find his resting place in his house. Know ye not that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I have prayed this week. And I've asked God, and he stirred me up to ask it, to amen, for you to receive more of him today, to be more open, to being more filled up with God today. I've asked him to start doing what he needs to do so that while you're sitting there and the word's going forth, you are filled with spirit and with fire. I prayed that. And I make my expectation, and I ask you to join with me with expectation for the sake of those that's coming, looking for answers in their life, that this house will be a platform by which God can pour his fire out, his spirit out. Amen? And as we're receiving the fire of God's spirit, out of us will come forth rivers of living water. It's the will of God while I'm ministering today that several of you get filled while you're sitting there, while the word's going forth, the power of God come upon you and get filled. We're in a series that requires that everybody to get through the struggles, daily struggles, that you're filled with the Spirit and led by that Spirit. You won't win no other way. Amen. And so, I encourage you to pay attention today because today is the third life lesson that we can learn from when Jesus was suspended between heaven and earth. He teaches us some things by what he spoke of and what he did while hanging there that if we gather that into our spirit and have fellowship with it, it'll change our lives and those that are around us. Amen? So in the Message version, it reads this way. This is our theme verse for this series, Hebrews 12:2. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. He aligned himself with us and our struggles so that he can know more about where we're at. Study how he did it. Always looked at the cross. What we're hearing here, what we're seeing here, is this writer saying, look, everything about what you do, measure it from the cross. Determine today before you leave that I will know nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. When you serve your spouse, it's as unto the Lord, Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's not about you. When you serve your children, when you serve your brothers and sisters, amen, those that you are a witness to, it's all about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Study how He did it, because He never lost sight of where He was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything. How? He was God in flesh. Well, Pastor, I'm not God in flesh, but God wants you to be. You are designed to be filled with the Spirit. Along the way, He could put up with anything, the cross, shame, whatever. And now He's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. I love it. And so we learned the first week, we learned that Jesus said, forgive them, they don't know what they do. That you and I could actually forgive people that appear to be trying to ruin our day. The person that you got a problem with, the Lord's saying, if you're going to join with me and be one of my disciples, one of my believers, one of my sheep, the first thing you do, because that was the first thing He did on the cross, is forgive everyone that appears to be ruining your day. And He had a right to hold them chargeable for what they were doing, because He didn't do anything wrong. All of us has done enough wrong to be tortured. You know, is that true? He didn't do anything wrong, and He forgave those that appeared to be ruining His day. And yet, He could do that because He could see something else. He's looking through a different lens. And I'm encouraging you, don't just look at the cross. Ask God to give you a revelation of the cross. Ask God to help you see from His lens what He's looking at. And when you look through His lens, you'll see everybody differently. Amen. And you can let go of things that's in your heart right now that is attached to some personality, because you realize when you see it, oh, man, that's a lie. That's not the truth. And I know our logic is it sure did look like they meant what they were doing, but you cannot inflict pain on anybody unless you're ignorant and unlearned. Did y'all know that? You can't be like Christ and inflict pain on somebody. And if you inflict heart hurt and pain, it's because you're deceived. You believe something about yourself. You believe something about them. You might even know you're offending them. But it's because of ignorance. The truth is what makes you free. How do we get filled with truth? By being filled with the Spirit. Amen? And truth was demonstrated on a cross, and we get the opportunity to look through His lens. And if He can forgive everybody that done Him wrong, the least I can do is forgive people that's done me wrong or appear to be trying to ruin my day. It's like they you know, these people get up every day, and that's their motive, is to ruin my day. I mean, they got up with a plan to make sure my day was ruined. And I know you've thought that about people before, but the first thing you must do if you're going to be Spirit-led, amen, and filled with the Spirit, and then Spirit-led, is you must forgive. It's not a suggestion. It's a prerequisite for all His sheep that follow Him. They know His voice. He knows them, amen, and they follow Him. The second lesson we learned, which was last week, is that you and I have been given the opportunity to encourage, to build up and strengthen other fellow sufferers. What you're going through right now, whatever the battle is, whatever the daily struggle that you're dealing with right now, the way you get out of that being your prison is that you begin to encourage them. Amen. You reach out there and you encourage someone else that's hurting. And the moment you start encouraging someone else, you get real smart. Isn't that amazing? How all of a sudden just all this wisdom and all this knowledge about their problem shows up, and you're the greatest counselor in the world. It's when you're ministering to somebody that's suffering. And now you know the answer to your own problem. And you get delivered. All of a sudden, your problem's not a problem no more. Your struggle's not a struggle. You get a perspective on this. It's like liberating. You see how what Jesus did on a cross hung between heaven and earth, everything He said, what He did becomes our life lessons that take us to the victory place. Today's no different, because today we're talking about an event that John, the writer of the book of John, the one that he refers to himself, the disciple that Jesus loved. That's pretty interesting about John, isn't it? That he would write of himself, the disciple that Jesus loved. God bless you, John. I agree with you. He did love you. He loved me too and them too. In chapter 19 of John, Jesus says something. He demonstrates something that is so powerful. And I want you to keep in mind, the scenario is Jesus is breathing his last breaths. He's laboring for breath. He's laboring. He's already lost most of the blood in his body. He's got just enough blood left in his body, amen, to keep suffering for you and me, amen, dying our death for us. And yet he's coherent enough not to focus on his personal challenge and struggle at the moment. He turns to them that are closest to him, and he begins to minister to them and care for them. And he's dying. He ain't got much left. He's all in. And he's teaching the lesson. And John is the one that penned what he said. And so we're able to read about this statement because John was standing. This is what gets me, though. You know, three girls and one boy show up at the cross. Go, guys. No, it's true. You got three Marys and one John. You got Mary, the mother of Jesus. You got Mary's sister there. Her name was Mary. It's amazing, man. I have a brother named my name. And then you have Mary Magdalene. And then John. And Jesus says something here. Let's read this in John 19:25. Near the cross. Underline that in your Bible. Near the cross. The cross was not a safe place to be while Jesus was being crucified. All his haters were there, mocking him, defying him, speaking curses upon him. And everybody that loved Jesus and had anything to do with Jesus had already run and hid somewhere because they thought they were next. Well, we all tracking? It was not a safe place to be. And yet we got four that loved him so much they didn't give a rip. They loved their Savior. They were close to the cross. Anybody ready to fall in love with Jesus where you don't really care what the world thinks? You don't care what all the haters of the kingdom of God think? I'm talking about religious haters. I'm talking about people that go to church haters of what Jesus is doing. Are we tracking? You really don't care. Matter of fact, it's going to get so thick in this room here moving forward in the spirit that you're so in agreement, it really don't matter what anybody religious and think, and they may have all kind of Bible studies that support their idea, but those Bible studies don't count to Jesus because the enemy knows the Bible and he uses the Bible to build his kingdom. All the principles in the Bible work. And so it really don't matter what anybody, I'm filled up with Jesus more than I've ever been filled, and I'm going to get so full that he's just going to keep coming in and coming out of me and you. So that we can demonstrate what the cross means, what the message of the cross looks like. We're going to be carriers of this good news, and it's going to bring relationships together. You're going to forge families. Amen. You're going to speak life. You're going to declare. You're going to prophesy. The gifts of the Spirit are going to work through you on an ongoing basis because you are around the cross. You're full of the Spirit, so the gifts of the Spirit get this liberty to work, regardless of anybody's Bible study. God gets preeminence over your idea of thinking you know what the Bible says. Pastor Lowe, be careful. No, I'm not going to be careful of this. I'll be careful for nothing on this one. Amen. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to get really encouraged right now? Boy, I'm fired up in the Spirit. God's talking to me right now about this reality. Look, gay, ladies and gentlemen, anybody in this world, amen, that and people die every day, right? And it's pointing to men who wants to die. Ain't nobody got God figured out. Your idea of God, your image of God in your brain has got to fall because that ain't God. You're not that smart. The way I perceive God has got to keep falling daily so that I can make more room for him to reveal himself to me. I don't have God figured out. I've been mercifully handpicked. You have been too. By the mercy of God, he chose you. You said, okay, I'm in, God, let's do this. But we ain't got God figured out. It ain't possible to know him. He can know us, and he can invite us on a journey with him to where we can get to see him more and more. And eternity never will be born. It'll be exciting because you're going to be wild for eternity on how huge God is. That's your daddy. But your image of God has got to fall because you don't have him figured out. And you don't have a Bible study that's laid out in a way that validates and confirms his wholeness yet. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. He wasn't talking about the Bible. But most Christians think he was writing a letter about the Bible. The Bible didn't exist yet. 1,300 years later, we finally get 66 books compiled called the Bible. And thank God for our Bible. Everybody say amen. And I hope you got plenty of them. Thank you, Jesus. But he wasn't talking about. What he was talking about is sheep that follow Jesus. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. What he was talking about is he or she that hath an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. What he was talking about is when God speaks to your spirit. Come on now. Because this is not what Christianity's getting right now, but you're going to get a New Life Fellowship. You're going to go to, and there are other churches all over the world telling what I'm saying right now because God's talking this. I'm a sheep. All sheep hear his voice. Not Dwayne Lowe. Today, you're going to hear, you should have already heard Jesus speak this week. Why? Because he gave you a promise. And that promise was the Comforter. And he comforts us. That's what the Holy Spirit does, reminding us of everything Jesus ever said. Study what he's saying to you. Fellowship with what he's speaking into your spirit. Spend time musing over and contemplating and going to your brother and saying, man, the Lord spoke to me. Your sister, the Lord said this. And then you're hearing what they said and you get sticky. Amen. And next thing you know, amen, what they're saying and what you're saying and what I'm saying, wow, now we're getting a picture of what God's been saying because we're his body. Study. Study. Faith comes by Dwayne Lowe. Mm-mm. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. God is talking to his babies. He's talking to his kids. He's a good daddy. Amen. He's not far from his children. And he's speaking every day. Amen. And all these competing voices that the body's slamming you and causing things to look like out of proportion and you're struggling and you don't know what to do. It was the same way the boys were when they were in their boat and the winds were blowing, the thunder was clapping, and the waves were beating you to the sea, and they were screaming, you don't care, Jesus. Some of you are in some situations right now where you've actually said, God, you don't care. And the reason you're in that situation is because you're hard-headed and you won't listen to what he's saying. Because he tells them when they woke him up because he was doing fine. I heard somebody say he was on his waterbed. Boat was full of water. Looked like it was going down, but he was sleeping. He was fine. They woke him out of a good resting time. Because they were concerned about all that competing voices. And he asked them, he says, where's your faith at? What was he saying? Don't you remember? I spoke to you. Let's cross to the other side. How did the wind and the waves and the thunder and the lightning, how did it get more value in your eyes than my voice to you? He was letting them know you have authority. If you agree with what we've already agreed, you have power. Speak to the wind. Let them know. Let all them competing voices, that ain't who I am. Your image of yourself has got to change too. Because if you don't let God help you see who you really are, how can you tend to those that are closest to you? Most of the time, and this hits all of us, the ones closest to us, we think they deserve to feel the pain we're feeling. Amen. Oh, you going to go there, Pastor? Yeah, I'm going to go there. There's four things you can do. Four things that you can do that can assist and serve and care for those closest to you. Four things you can do. Number one thing you can do if you're going to help someone and serve them and care for them closest to you is find out what the real problem is. Number one. What's the real problem? Has anybody ever thought that their struggle was like from a scale of 1 to 10, a 10 before? Maybe you said, dude, it's not just a 10. It's back. It's on up 11 or 12 right now. So what you're really saying is that your spouse and your kids got burned up last night in a fire, and you don't have your family no more. Maybe it's not a 10. Maybe it's a 7. Well, so what you're saying is that you just got a report from the doctor that you're in stage 4 cancer and you got 6 months to live. Well, maybe it's not a 7. And we can keep this ball rolling. You follow what I'm saying? To the point that we find out that the problem is not really what we think it is. The problem is what we look at in the mirror. Amen? And if we don't define what the real problem is, we can't even make the next step neither. Right. We'll make the next step wrong, and we've all done it. Everybody has made step 2 the wrong way before. And step 2 is don't go to the pity party. Don't take the invitation to go to the pity party. Because a pity party don't stop, does it? There ain't nothing like a pity party. And we've all had our pity parties before, haven't we? Anybody ever got mad before at someone you really loved and you played the quiet game? Something happened. Next thing you know, you left the room. And it ain't 45 seconds. And if they ain't following you out of the room to pet you, you really mad now. You ever been there before? Oh, y'all are confirming you've been there before. You just don't want to say amen. Pity parties have all kind of interesting guests. I can't believe you said that shows up. I'm hurt shows up. Mr. I'm sorry shows up. And it's just a pity party of soap operas and communication that does not bless anybody, especially those that are closest to you. Have you ever used the one closest to you as a punching bag? Because you're having a bad day? Oh, me and my wife done that to each other before. Yeah. I've done that to my pastor before. Amen. I should be having a better day. Having a pity party. Amen. You cannot have that around the cross. Around the cross, ladies and gentlemen, we can only bring our problems and lay them down. And turn our heart to Him. And when we lay our problems down and we make our battles His battles and our cares His cares, because when you decide that you're going to identify the problem, what you're going to do at that point is you're going to cast all your cares on Him. You're going to throw all your cares on Him. Anybody know what cares do? Cares will choke you out. Cares are dangerous. Anybody got some cares right now? Dude, man, I got some things going on right now, and I need to take care of that, and I got to get more. It's beating me up. Yep, that's what it does. That's its goal. Jesus warned about the cares of this life and how they will choke you out. Anything that you care about that keeps your eye off the mark becomes like a boa constrictor, a constricting, lying spirit that will choke out of you the very life God intended you to have. And some of us, if not all of us, have some cares that we haven't let God have yet. And He's saying, take all of your cares, anything you care about, and throw them on Him. Why? Because He knows if we don't, we're going to have a pity party. And if we have a pity party, we're going to, instead of caring for the ones close to us, we're going to beat them up. Because when I'm hurting, I want everybody to know about it if I'm not in the spirit. Ain't nobody here get around it. When you're beat up, if you're not filled with the Spirit, you're going to beat up everybody else around you, especially those closest to you, because you want them to know it ain't a good day. I'm having a daily struggle right now, and I need you to relate with me. Anybody? And it doesn't sound like, well, when I married them, they should be able to relate with me. I mean, for better or for. So, duh, come on now. I got to have somebody that can know how I feel. And Jesus wants to be that somebody because we're the bride of Christ and he's our husband. Is this helping somebody? Anybody ever got ticked off and you was on the road and you just wanted somebody to cut you off? Because you knew if they cut me, boy, I'm looking for some venting room right now. Huh? You ever going through a struggle, man? Somebody needs to say something wrong right now so I can have a justify having my two bits in this thing. Is anybody tracking with me? And Jesus had the right to vent, but he didn't. He had the right to let everybody know, I didn't do anything wrong. I came here to give you life, to heal you, to feed you, to set you free, to give you identity, to give you hope. Amen. To make you who you truly are. And he had the right to vent, but he didn't. While he's dying, he looks to his mother and sees a need there. And she's not even concerned about that need. She's concerned about him. That's her boy. That's her God. That's her Lord. And he's looking at John because he's there. Because if I got to die, this is where I want to die. I'm dying with the one that, man, he's got the words of life. I'm all in. And he sees them at the foot of his cross. He said, okay, we're gonna give you an opportunity to take it. Amen. Write about it and talk about it. Woman, behold your son. I'm not your son no more. I'm your God. That's your son. Behold your mother. And instead of them bellyaching about all the stuff that they thought they had the right to bellyache, they caught the message. And John takes the mother of Jesus home with him and opens his house to her and ministers to them closest to him. And she also ministered to John, one that was closest to her, like a mother. Amen. So we find out what the real problem is. We don't take the invitation to the pity party because that ain't going to help nobody. And then thirdly, we get connected. We get connected. You want to be impactful? You want to help somebody and serve someone closest to you? Then you want to get sticky. You want to get fitly joined together as the body of Christ. Y'all tracking with me? How do we get sticky? We need each other. We go to house, breaking bread and in fellowship. God set the order up, ladies and gentlemen. Freedom is being connected. Freedom is not going to church. Freedom is being the church. Get in a small group. Start a small group. Start ministering to those that are closest to you. Open up your life. Let them get closer to you. Serve them. Show them how he did it. Study how he did it. And then deliver to them the message you're getting on what you're studying, how he did it, poured into their lives. Anybody own a house in a subdivision? Everybody does, pretty much. A few country people here. But even in the country, there's people all out there in that property, all out in that area. You live where you live because God owns that. He owns you, and he owns the house you're in. Why? Because he placed you there, and he's trying to tell you he trusts you to be his steward. You're his child, but as his child, you're stewarding his business. You're stewards of his grander purpose. Amen. If you love Jesus, you will open your house. If you love Jesus, you will become a part of a small group. If you love him and you appreciate what he did on your behalf, you will get around the foot of the cross and you'll begin to forge families and relationships. You'll begin to bring people together because of what he did for you. You'll get connected. Connecting is how we get freedom. Anybody need freedom here today? Isn't it interesting that when you go to a small group and you get around people that, and I know, you know, small groups have people in them. People can hurt you. Understand that. And some of us are afraid of people. Have you ever asked the Lord why you're afraid of people? Because you happen to be one? Oh, I got you. And you know you? Oh, I got you. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason we fear people sometimes and we're afraid to get hurt because we're going through daily struggles, the reason we fear them is because we haven't yet found ourselves filled with God's presence and we're not at the foot of the cross. We fear them because we believe something that's not true about them. But it sure sounds right. And it sounds like where this voice is coming from, or these ideas are coming from, their voices are correct, because logically they line up. That's a scary person. I hear you. But it's in these small groups, when you go to them, that everybody in that small group faces daily struggles too. Every one of them go through stuff. And it's when you get connected to people that are going through stuff that all of a sudden you get this support that you didn't know you had, because they'll get involved and support you through your stuff. They'll protect your backside. That's called re-rewarding in Scripture. In other words, amen, I'm protecting you, you're protecting me. We're serving each other. And sometimes it don't work out like that for some, but when you get in a small group, you'll find the group, amen, that's hanging out at the foot of the cross, and they will pour into your life. And they'll get you closer to the cross so that you can pour into others' lives. And you'll start identifying those you're supposed to be serving because they're attracted to the cross. Amen? So, for you to be impacted, for me to study what Jesus did and live the life that he led and demonstrate what he demonstrated on my behalf, I've got to find out what the real problem is. My fears are not coming from the people God wants me to love on. My fears are coming from a lie that I've been believing. And Jesus has come to set us free from that lie. And if we'll identify the lie, if we'll identify the real problem, we won't go to the pity party. And if we don't have a pity party, we've become now a platform for God to have rest in our life. And now we can be connected. And when I get connected, I get free so that the Spirit of God can work in me and the gifts operate and the fruit of the Lord. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit begins to spill out of me and you. It's time to get connected, isn't it? It's time to stop finding excuses on why I'm not leading a small group, joined in with a small group. The only reason you're not in the small group and leading a small group is because you haven't identified the problem yet. And you're not going to minister your spouse like you should or those closest to you until you get these steps in place in your spirit. And it starts with the baptism of God's Spirit so that you can follow him. The fourth thing that's very important if you're going to be effective in caring for them that are closest to you is look to Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Keep evaluating. Everything that you and I do is based on what would Jesus do. Every breath you breathe should be for his objective and his plan. Every word you say should be measured by, is this the Lord or is this me talking? It should be evaluated. And the only reason I would do the talking, you want to know why I do that? And I've done that before, is I'm in a pity party. The only reason I would say something that Jesus isn't saying is because I'm at the wrong party. Because when I'm at the right party, I can only say what he says. I can only do what he does. I know this has got to be helping somebody right now. And every one of us has taken liberty with our religious ideas to say things we shouldn't have said. But if I'm going to serve and care for them closest to me, I got to study how he did it. I look to Jesus as the author, and as the author, he started something, and finisher of my faith. For the joy of the cross, he took it up on himself. He saw something, and he went after it. And he gave no regard to his suffering. He gave no regard to his pain. He gave no regard to giving up his life so that you and I could live and join with him in all the fun. Amen? And if he's going to finish something in your life, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to get this in step with him. Amen. The problem isn't the person you're sitting next to or the one you're married to. That's not the problem. The problem is the lies you're believing. And if you believe a lie, you're going to go to a pity party. If you go to a pity party, you're not going to be connected. You'll just go to church and you'll never be the church. Pastor Lowe, why you have to get so blunt like that? Because I'm doing spiritual warfare right now. And I know the staff is hoping I'll keep going that direction right now. Spiritual warfare. I want the enemy to know I've identified him, and I want to encourage you to know. Amen. We together are identifying him. He's not welcome in your heart. He's not welcome in your marriage. He's not welcome in your home. He's not welcome on the job. He's not welcome with you going down the road. He's not welcome, amen, at the cross of Jesus Christ. He has no place there. We got just enough time left for God, if we'll get that heartbeat, for him to redeem the time and us to see his glory revealed in our relationships that he's entrusted in our care. Man, study how he did it. He wants to finish something in you. He started something and you're attracted to it. Let him finish it. In 1995, a man came to the storefront church. His name was John. We're talking about John and we're talking about three Marys. But his name was John. And what happened to John in that storefront, it was a seed that got in his spirit that he couldn't, he never wanted to get rid of it. He just didn't know it got in him like it did. He got filled with the Spirit. He got impacted by what God was doing in that little storefront. And if you had seen John then, you would think, liar, cheat, alcoholic, drug addict, thief, womanizer. I mean, from the knowledge of good and evil, he ain't got a chance. Dude, how can God work with that? That's from this tree. But from the tree of life, it's like, that's exactly the one I want. And he got that message, and God touched his life. But events and circumstances in the life, storms, daily struggles happened and pulled him away. Amen. And he moved to his old hometown. Amen. 10 years later, I get a phone call one night, and John's on the other end of the line, and he's crying. He's a tough guy, you know. He's on the other line. He's sobbing, and he's saying, I hope you don't mind me calling, but I ain't got nobody left. All my family's dead. And he's sobbing. He's trying to keep his composure. He said, I was crying out to the Lord. I don't know what to do, and he was just, I mean, I hold the phone, I'm listening. Man, this guy is on the bottom of the bottom. He said, and while I was crying out to the Lord, I don't know what to do, the Lord showed me that storefront. And I heard him say, that's your family. Only in that line, I'm hearing that man broken, sobbing. I mean, he is squalling, if you understand that country lingo. He has lost all of his spirit. And the only hope he has is this phone call he's making. This is the only hope he's got. And it's a good distance away. And he said, I don't know what to do, but do this. The Lord said, do this. I didn't realize what I was pulling up to when I pulled up to the bus station to pick him up. But I know what the Lord put in my wife's heart and my heart. And there's one thing about Tammy and I. We've always loved John. It don't matter what John does, God gave us a love for John. And I picked him up that night. Got him in. It wasn't the same John that I had seen before and knew of. Life had totally taken him down. He was skin and bones when I picked him up. But God wasn't through. The Lord began to talk to me about caring for them that are closest to the cross and what it looks like. There's some people that are real close to everybody in this room. The reason you're here today and the reason you're hearing this is because God's trusting you to let him take over in your life so that they have a platform. Amen. They have a light. They have some saltiness. They have something, amen, in their dark world that they can see that gives them hope. Anybody that's looking for the cross, anybody, becomes the ones that God has designed you and me to care for that are closest to us. Saints, I got some biological family I live. How many biological family members do you have? Lots. Does every one of them believe in Jesus? No, they don't. I've got biological family. I love visiting with them. They're great people. But your family is they that obey the word of the Lord. Let me digress. Jesus is doing some teaching one day. And as he's teaching, some people came up and said, hey, your mother and your brother are seeking you. And he didn't even look. He didn't even pay attention. He just kept teaching. And he says, my mother and my brother are they that obey the word of God. Now, so y'all, do you understand how strong that is? I love my biological family. But until Jesus becomes Lord in their life, Jesus is saying they're not the closest ones to you. Somebody needed to hear that today. The closest ones to you are the ones that are with you at the foot of the cross. Those that are not with you at the foot of the cross are against him, and they're against the objective that he has. He loves them, but until they're willing to come to the cross, they're not going to get what he has for them to have. And you need to hear this today. We're in a pity party, some of us, because those that we think are closest to us have imprisoned us with their antics, with their belly aching, with their complaint, with their soap operas. Pastor, be careful, be kind. I am. I'm being very kind. And the spirit of kindness and meekness is working right now. And the demons that have been tormenting you and tormenting that one that you love that's not near the cross, the only way they're going to get deliverance for you to find out who you are and to receive your identity and take your place at the foot of the cross. Amen, and shine instead of let their pity party pull you into a pity party. It's time for you to come out of your religious pity party and be Christ. It's time to stop complaining about what's not right and blaming Jesus for it, because he's not the problem here. He's the answer. And then a lot of those biological family members, they'll be attracted to it. And they'll find him. And then you'll be able to care for them, but not before. Could we stand?